I want to talk about the power of our expectation. I think I ministered. Did I minister this verse in Psalm 27, 13 to 14. You know, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Did I minister that later last year? Can anybody remember anything about my messages anyway? I mean, you know, because sometimes I don't. But anyway, that's right. Because it says this, Psalm 27, verse 13, and this is connected to our expectation. I would have lost heart. And there's a few things that have happened for some people this year, for a few of us this year, where the enemy would love you to have lost heart in that situation, in that circumstance, or in that pressure, or in that uncertainty, or in that loss, or in that difficult part of journey. The enemy would love you to have lost heart. Because when you lose heart, losing heart is losing faith. Losing heart is losing expectation. Losing heart is in the some degree, losing hope. When somebody loses heart, they go into a survival mode. They go into, I'll just do enough to get by mode, but I don't know if life or the future has anything for me. I don't know if God has anything for me. This situation, this challenge, this was so either such a curveball, or it's out of left field, or it was not whatever it was, and the enemy would love you, he would love me to lose heart. But David says this, I would have lost heart. David walked through many different things. Being a king, you do. I mean, I've never been a king. I've never been a king of a nation with warring nations that want to have your guts for garters and your ears for yo-yos. I've never been in that situation. Spiritually, it feels like you are at times, being a pastor of a church, but that's not like David had. And I would have lost heart unless I had believed. See, what we come into another year with believing is going to establish our heart in what we're going to expect. Or, see, because great expectation or strong expectation or positive expectation or expectation of blessing gives you a sense of hope for the future, gives you a sense that life is really worth living, like God has a purpose for me, I'm moving forward, and I can expect God to move with me, or I can follow Him in His moving. And so there's this life, there's this expectation, there's this vitality, there's this energy, there's this reason to get out of bed in the morning, there's this reason to live when you believe the Lord. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Unless I had believed what? That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is the land of the living. This is not the land of the dead. Some people look it. You go out in society. Some people literally look like the walking dead. There's no hope in their eyes. There's no life in their faith. But you are not that. You are not the walking dead. You are living. You're alive. You've got the spirit of resurrection in you. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. You've got Christ, the creator of the universe in you. You are nothing but dead in that sense. You are in the land of the living. And he said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. God wants to fill our hearts with hope. He wants us to be hopeful people. He wants us to be people who have an expectation of the future. That expectation comes by knowing His promises, by going deeper in the knowledge of His nature. Doesn't come about by wishful thinking. Doesn't come about by a little book of positive affirmations written by Mary so-and-so from Hollywood. Doesn't come about by that. The hope in the Lord comes about by taking His word seriously, looking into His word, beholding His word, beholding His nature as expressed in Christ, seeing how He related to people, seeing how He treated people, seeing how He transformed people, knowing that His promises to you are promises that are good. They're good for this life, in other words, the land of the living, and they're good for the life to come. That's important. Some people have promises that are only good for this life right now. But in Christ, we have promises that are good for this life and the life to come. The promises we have go beyond the veil of death into eternity. In fact, in reality, in terms of the Spirit of God being in us, we're in eternity now in the sense that eternity is actually in us. The Holy Ghost is the eternal Spirit is in us. So in a sense, we're actually eternal now, right? You don't have to wait until you pass from this body through death into beyond the veil into the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is with you now. The presence of the Lord is in us now. But there are things we are living by faith because we haven't, our eyes haven't seen the fullness of them yet. But the faith, but our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report, so on and so forth, Hebrews 11. So we're living in this time where we have eternal life now. The eternal Spirit is in us now, and he's resurrected us in terms of our identity now. But there's going to come a day when this body gets resurrected and the fullness of our inheritance is going to be experienced and lived with and enjoyed. And we're going to see the Lord face to face in exactly the same kind of body he's got now. And we're going to know him and we're going to know ourselves in a complete way. It's just so, who on earth has a better hope? Nobody. But I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's our expectation. Accurate expectation comes from going deeper and deeper in the knowledge of the goodness of God, the knowledge of his promises, and then adding our faith to that, taking a hold of them, and those promises becoming ours. That's what becomes immovable in us. That's where life is really. Because you can draw a certain amount of satisfaction and fun and sense of fulfillment out of things around and so on, but it's actually all temporary. And some of it's very fickle. I don't know about you, but I have mood swings. Has anybody ever had mood swings? Have you ever had some days where you just feel on top of everything and other days where it just doesn't feel like that? Anybody ever felt that? Is it just me? Grant, have you ever experienced anything like that ever?
It's a phase of life.
It's a phase of life. Okay, I'm not out of that phase yet. I haven't gone through the change of life yet. But, you know, so if you relegate everything back to how you're feeling on any given moment, life's a roller coaster. You know, it may have been you had too much sugar or not enough sugar. Maybe you had too much white bread, not enough white bread. Maybe you had too much this, not enough that. You know, maybe something alarmed you that you saw on the news and therefore your emotions have gone there and that's where you're at right now. But at the end of the day, you can't live there. You've got to live your life. And so, you know, your husband might have said something nice, you feel up. You might have said something unpleasant, you feel down. Same with your wife. Your wife might have said something nice, you feel up. She might have said something a bit mean, you feel down. Life in the emotional realm can change so quickly. But that's not where life really is. That's a bit like colour TV compared to black and white. Emotions bring colour. They bring expression. They bring all sorts of things like that. But the fundamental issue is the promises of God, the nature of God, the promises that are good for this life and the life to come. Unless my heart would have fainted, unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. My expectation of the future is bright because I have the light in my life, because Jesus is the light of the world. Now, because he's in me, I am the light of the world, so are you. I could just go on and on, obviously. And then it says, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Those verses are two very connected verses. Then I'm going to go to this other aspect of a message, but all kind of links together. In Matthew 13, verse 44, So our heart can stay strong, our heart can stay or recover in strength. It can go from a place of feeling a bit faint and wobbly. It can recover strength. What I've experienced is life, my heart is more likely to recover strength when I focus in on the promises and the goodness and the provision of God. If my heart's focus is turned toward myself or any other human being, quite frankly, it doesn't have the resilience it needs. It's too fickle. But when I turn my focus to the Lord's character, the Lord's work, His promises, His covenant, then that's when our heart can have expectation of a powerful future. See, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, there's a very short parable. It's amongst a bunch of other parables. And it's Jesus teaching about hidden treasure. Because, I mean, I could say this about any year, that every year we're going to find hidden treasure. You keep growing in the Lord, you're going to find hidden treasure. You're going to find treasure because the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are in Christ. The true things of eternity, the true things of your value, the true things of your purpose, the true things of the nature of the world, the true things of the nature of God, the true things of God's heart towards you, the true things of the enemy's heart towards you, all of those things are found in Christ and in the Word of God. Being orientated in the Word of God gives you the right orientation to see the world correctly. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. So when you come into Christ, you have access to heavenly wisdom. You have access to the most important true eternal knowledge. You have access to it. But here's the deal. It's hidden. It's hidden. And Jesus taught this parable about the kingdom. And if we would embark again or continue our journey in the discovery of treasures in the kingdom of God, we will become more and more rich as every week passes by. Matthew 13:44, New King James Version. Again, this is Jesus saying, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Very short little parable. But he's talking about things that are truly important, things about the treasures of the heaven. So what's that about treasure in a field? What's the deal there? Well, in those kind of times, people's wealth was mainly stored in gold, silver, precious garments, jewels, precious, very precious things that were mobile. Their house and they didn't have cars. Their house and that sort of thing was not movable. So in those times, it wasn't unusual for a raiding bunch of Syrians or a raiding bunch of whoever else to come and raid the country or raid your village or raid your town. And you might get wind of it happening, you know, a week or 2 weeks, or maybe a day beforehand. So what they would do is they would hurriedly get their key treasures together and put them into earthen pots or wrap them up in some way and bury them into their field or bury them into their ground and try and disguise it so nobody would find it, in the hope that even after they've had to flee and rush to another country or another place or another hiding place, eventually they may be able to come back to their property and they'd go out to the field, they would dig up their treasure and they'd be able to get on with life. But the problem was, oftentimes, they never came back to the land. They may have been killed. They may have been killed in a foreign land. They may have died in some way. They may have, the people who raided the land may have taken up occupancy and there was no way of getting back. So that buried treasure stayed in the land. And unless they told anybody or they wrote it down, nobody would know that it was there. So if you were buying property, one of the things that some people would do is they would scout the land to see whether there was any signs of possible buried treasure. So the field was a field, whether it's sand, it's rocks, it's shingle, trees, whatever. The field was the field, but the value he was looking for, the thing he was looking for, was in the field, not just the field. Because the field had a certain value based on its ability to produce and so on and so forth. But the treasure that was in there, that could be worth untold. And so a clever guy might get around, and if he found some buried under a big rock behind those three trees, he would not tell anybody. He would cover it over again, and then go away. He'd try and estimate its value. He'd go away, and if what he owned was worth selling to buy that field because what was in it was worth far more, then he would sell everything he could, get that money together, buy that field, and then he would go out at the appropriate time and dig up that treasure. He may have paid an equivalent to our money, $300,000 for the field, but what was buried in that field could have been worth millions. Do you get the picture? So that's what Jesus is saying. Person who finds treasure in the field, looking for land, he's looking for it, he finds the treasure there, he buries it, goes and sells everything to get that land with that treasure. Well, the kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God has got a whole lot of hidden treasure in it. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. And so our journey this year, if we're wise, we'll be continuing to dig, continuing to research, continuing to study, continue to look into the things of the kingdom, because I believe there's some buried treasure that people are going to discover this year that is going to, it's going to be like you're going to go from darkness to light in comparison, because revelation and understanding and things that come to you, heavenly wisdom comes to you, are going to make the difference between dark and night in your lifetime. In your life, there's going to be business ideas and that are literally buried treasure that you're going to discover by the Holy Ghost this year. There's going to be revelation about kingdom things, deliverance, healing, management, relationship understanding, revelation about yourself and who you're called to be. All of that is buried treasure that you're going to discover this year, and you're going to discover it at a deeper level than you've ever experienced before. A wise person will continue the search for that treasure that's in the kingdom of God. Don't just seek the things that we need, but seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's buried treasure in the kingdom of God that you and I can discover this year. There's greater dimensions of understanding. There's greater dimensions of anointing. There's greater dimensions of revelation. They're going to lift us into another level that we will discover that are in the kingdom of God this year. And Jesus has purposely hidden them for us in the kingdom of God, because when we search after a thing, we shall find a thing, and it'll take us into a new place. People say, I want breakthrough. Dig into the kingdom of God. Find the treasure. It'll bring the breakthrough. A lot of breakthroughs related to revelation. A lot of breakthroughs related to heavenly wisdom. A lot of breakthroughs related to heavenly things that unfold and bring us into a place of greater dimensions of faith and greater effectiveness. The treasure is in Christ, in the kingdom of God. It's us, princes. It's us who have the privilege to discover a thing and to find it and to enjoy it and to bring glory to God in it. Amen. So what's our expectation this year? Is it just going to be more of the same old? I hope not. Whatever the same old is to you. Whatever the same old is to you, you can be satisfied in Christ, but don't be satisfied with the level of understanding you have at this point, because there's buried treasure. The reason it's buried and not just lying on the surface is because when somebody has to dig it up, It's an expression of hunger. It's an expression of value. When you have to dig something up that you know something's in you, and you have to put effort into digging it up, you have to get your hands dirty, you might get blisters, you might, whatever it takes, whatever you've got to dig that up, it shows that you value that thing you're digging up. And because God has hidden it, He's seeing in your heart the value that you're placing on discovering those things that he's hidden. And He values that search because He sees the faith in your heart. He sees the hunger in your heart. He sees the desire in your heart. He sees the desire to grow and increase in your heart. And that's an expression of faith. It's also an expression of praise. It's also an expression of honor. It's also an expression of love for the Father, because you recognize that He's put treasure there for you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew. Jesus, actually, recorded by Matthew. So here's the deal. 2025, how's your expectation? Has it been dulled? Was it a bit traumatized? Was it a bit disappointed? These are realities. Most people have been around a little while, have had to deal with things of that nature often enough. And it's not just about having a positive personality. That's nice. But what's far more powerful is an expectation that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Otherwise, our heart could be vulnerable to fainting. And when we see somebody that's about to faint or about to give up, you can't beat on them from above. You've got to somehow get alongside and perhaps get a bit underneath and lift. And it's not through cliches, and it's not through something you read on a Christmas card. It's through the genuine faith of your spirit. And maybe the knowledge and experience of walking through something like they've walked through. So there's that lifting. It's not going like this. It's going like that. Because you can't threaten someone into faith. You can't guilt somebody into faith. You can't sarcasm somebody into faith. You've got to encourage and lift people into faith. Colossians 2:1, finishing on this. And this is Paul writing to the believers in Colossae, or however you want to pronounce it. And Greek philosophy had made inroads. And there was a philosophy that said you've got to follow these particular people who've got higher knowledge, called gnosis. Higher knowledge. And if you follow that person with that higher knowledge, then they will be able to pass that knowledge down to you and you will become complete. And some people manipulate people, even on the internet and YouTube, to think that that's what you've got to do, and if you follow them, you'll come into the great knowledge. And Paul needed to correct that. He said, verse 1, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, which, of course, you'll know from Revelation if you've read the Revelation. And for as many of you as have not seen my face in the flesh, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. In other words, knowing God, being known of Him, and coming into the wonderful revelation of who He is, of who Jesus is, who the Father is. And then he says this. Both of the Father and of Christ, verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus the Christ. Christ is not a surname. Christ is a title. Christ, anointed one, Messiah, depending on which language. Jesus the Christ, the Heavenly Father, whom we are reconciled to through faith in the Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, brings us into position to be able to receive the true riches of knowledge and understanding, because they're all in Him. The heresy preachers were saying, if you follow me, or if you follow them, or if you follow so-and-so, who has the special spiritual knowledge, as you get higher and higher in those levels, you will come into greater completeness. Paul is saying, no, that's a load of baloney. Baloney was a fish that was in the lake nearby. No, they're a load of baloney. In Christ, in the Father, are found all the treasures, all the hidden treasures of knowledge and wisdom. In Christ, can I encourage you to make Christ the center of your search? Can I encourage you to make Christ and the Father the center of your knowledge? Can I encourage you to weigh up all of the arguments the world is throwing around? In light of what the Father and what the Son have to say about anything, about your sexuality, about your identity, about your value, about eternity, about the nature of the world, about the creation, about everything, about reconciliation to Him, about human worth, everything that the world is trying to get infiltrate into your mind, weigh it up against the knowledge in Christ Jesus and in the Father, because in Him are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Otherwise, you'll get as confused as some of the people around. And boy, are they confused. We're in for a great 6 months at least. I'm talking about politically this coming year, globally, politically. I'm excited. I'm waiting. Okay, push the button. Let's get going on this thing. You know, but just that's aside, you know. But my expectation and my hope is in Christ. No political system. Oh, because they're all temporary. But I am entertained by it, and I do see these things that are emboldening some of us to get a bit more expressive of our opinions and our views and the revelation. But I'm excited about what's happening globally in terms of what's shifting and moving politically. I think it's very exciting. And, you know, it's going to be a heap of fun. Going to be pretty challenging too. Do you think the last 4 years a lot of agendas have come to light? And they have. The next 5 years are going to be pretty intense too. But in Christ are hidden all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. If you keep your eyes on Christ, if you stay centered in Christ, it's in the kingdom that's found all the treasure you need. So what's your expectation for 2025? What's going to be your search for 2025? What's going to be your focus of growth and development and understanding in 2025? It can only be Christ. It can only be the Father. So let's all stand. I'm going to invite you to pray after me. Because I'm going to pray a prayer of focus, and I'm going to pray a prayer of turning away from unworthy focus. So if you are willing to follow me in it, make this your prayer as well. Father, today I thank you for this new year. I thank you that you plainly reveal that in you are hidden all the treasures of knowledge and understanding. And I thank you, Lord, that you've drawn me to yourself, that you've revealed my need of you. This year, help me by your grace, make my search your hidden treasure. I want to discover more and more and more of the wonder of yourself and of your goodness and of your power and of your purposes and how I fit into it all. I want to be seeking first the kingdom of God so that those other things will be added to me at the right time. So thank you, Lord. I declare that Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. Father, you are my eternal Father. I've been reconciled to you. And your promises are sure. Help them. Help me. Sorry. Develop a powerful expectation for you to move and me to move in you in 2025. Let this year be a year we see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Thank you, Lord. Move by your Spirit and help me move with you in the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. God bless you. If there's anybody here who's never received Christ, now would be the perfect time for you to receive Christ. Anybody online or anybody in here, if you've never given your life to Jesus, now would be just a beautiful time to do it. We'll either pray again or you can come up the front and we'll pray with you and introduce you to Jesus. Anybody in this section need to give their lives to Christ? Just ask the person next to you. I'll go with you if you need a bit of courage. I'll go with you if you want to go. Just come on up. We're going to pray. We're going to lead you to Christ. If anybody in this section, need to give your life to Christ? Anybody in this section need to give your life to the Lord? Noah, you okay? Anybody in this section? Paulette, okay, I thought you were safe. Anyway, anybody in this section? Okay, God bless you all. Paulette's going to play something that'll entertain us all. And God bless you. Nobody's responding at this point, but we're going to pray online anyway. People online, if you want to receive Christ, well, you want to receive healing today, put your hand to your screen right now, wherever you are. We're going to pray. We're going to pray the presence of God becomes powerful and rich in your home in the name of Jesus right now. Father, right now, just wherever they are watching today or in the days ahead, let your power and your grace come upon them powerfully. Let your Spirit just so lead them. In Jesus' name right now, thank you, Father, for touching their life with healing. I speak to that very strong migraine condition that somebody's suffering from even right now, the very strong debilitating migraine situation. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit behind that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be gone from that person right now. I break the power of the tension and the stress around your mind and your spirit. I break its power now. In Jesus' name, I release you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Father. Somebody's had a very bad, the cushioning between your vertebrae, they call them discs, but the cushioning between, very bad rupture out one side in the name of Jesus, right? Pushing very badly on a nerve. In the name of Jesus right now, I just speak to that. Come back into position. Come back into the sack, as it were. Come back into position. Rupture seal over now in the name of Jesus. I command you to take the pressure off those nerves and off the spinal cord now in Jesus' name. Right now, thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Shalarabarundai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hello.
Should we pray for the young people going to camp?
Young people going to camp. Quickly come up. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Quickly, just come on up. We're just going to pray for you in general. That you'd just have an awesome time. Encounters with God. That you'd be an amazing example to other youth. Okay. You put your hand on her back. Have you had a ruptured sack? Have you had a ruptured back deal? Okay, just pray for her. Pray for her, okay. Father, I thank you for these amazing young people right now. In the name of, just stretch out your hands to them, then we'll finish. Father, right now, just thank you for the camp coming up. I just bless them now in the Holy Ghost. Father, that this camp would be awesome. The fellowship would be awesome. The encounters would be awesome. The revelation would be awesome. That all come back having received something awesome in you, in Jesus' name. Lord, I help pray the powerful relationships would be built and strengthened in Jesus' name. We just bless them all right now in the name of Jesus. Give them a great God bless. Have an awesome time, guys. Have an awesome time.